Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25, very familiar verses, and then we're going over to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to draw our points from that passage tonight. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and verse 25. It states, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." I'll explain that in my introduction. Now, go over to Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, and notice verse number 12, Hebrews 5, verse 12. It says, "For when for the time," very odd phrase, I'll explain that in the sermon. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." I've been using these first services here in 2018 to prepare us for 2018, giving us what we need. And I'm doing that exact same thing again tonight. Tonight I'm going to speak on the subject, we should show up to grow up. We should show up to grow up. I hope you remember that title tomorrow. Let's get some help. Father, we do thank you once again for allowing us to be able to assemble here. And Father, we turn our attention to your word. And Father, we are here tonight by divine appointment. We thank you, Father. Thankful, Father, for those who had the mindset to come out tonight. And I pray that you'll give all of us food for our souls. Father, help us to determine in 2018 we're going to show up to grow up. Father, have your way in the service. Completely control me. Help me to say those things you desire for me to say. And then, Father, if not, then take them away. And I pray, Father, you'll give me illustrations, anything that you desire for me to share with our people tonight. Help us all, Father, from the pulpit to the last pew. In Jesus' precious name, I do ask it. Amen. Well, we know that the Bible teaches that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, we should be faithful to our church services. And one reason that we should be faithful to our church services, and this is not my major point, I'm just doing this in my introduction, but one of the reasons why we should be faithful is that our attendance will literally encourage others, or our lack of attendance will discourage others. And when we consider people, literally, and we are considerate of other people, then we will literally be faithful to God's house. We'll do whatever we can to make sure that we are sitting on a pew come church time. We ought to consider people. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25a states again, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." See, our attendance will literally encourage one another. Also, our attendance will allow us to provoke, the Bible says, others unto love and to good works. Now, the word provoke literally means to arouse, to excite, to call to action. So if we are truly faithful, then we literally, our own lives will be provoking other people to love God more and also to good works. And we will have that opportunity even as we are amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging them. The greatest teacher is our own lives. When someone sees us being faithful and we're serving God, etc., then that's teaching them that that is what we should be doing. And that is encouraging them to do the same. Everybody is looking at somebody. Somebody has their eyes on you and somebody has their eyes on me. I've seen young converts at times. I've seen them come to the house of God. And when they get to the house of God, I've seen them literally come in, sit down, and because they said, "Pastor, what do you expect of me?" And I have said, "This is what I expect of you." And I've seen them start out being faithful. But you know what I've seen them also do? I've also seen them, when they come to the house of God, I've seen them do this. While I'm standing up here, I see them looking around because they see some on Wednesday, but then they don't see them back on Sunday. They see some on Sunday, but then they don't see them back on Wednesday. And when we do that, what we're literally doing is we're causing people to stumble and we're causing people to fall. Because a young convert, they're going to follow you just like a child will follow you. A child will imitate whatever you are doing. They're going to imitate it. And Christianity is not just taught, it's caught. It is. And so we are to determine by the grace of God that we're going to be faithful. That's why I encourage you. I have been doing that for a number of years, encouraging us to be faithful, because somebody is looking at us. And we can provoke people unto love and to good works. Do you know when you come in the house of God and you get excited about what's going on, other people see that, and then it causes them to be excited. Everybody ought to be a little fire starter, if you please. Well, if I'm sitting on the pew, I guarantee you, you don't ever hear me sitting on the pew not opening my mouth. Amen. You know why? Because I'm agreeing to the truth. If I see truth, I'm agreeing to the truth. Now, if I keep my mouth closed and I'm not in agreement with what I just heard, or I've got to think about what I just heard, process it in my own mind before I can say amen. You say, "Well, I'm just not a talkative person." Well, let me find you after service. Let me see you at a baseball game or a basketball game or a football game. I didn't even plan on saying all this, but I asked God to control me, so evidently he must want me to. If we really believe, if we really believe that the Lord is coming back, we'll be faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25b says, "And so much the more as ye see the day approaching." If we really believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, I'm talking about really believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, then we will be faithful. When we're not faithful, then we don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Oh, yeah, we think in our minds sometime off, way off there in the future. And whenever I think he'll come, I show up. But no, you say, "Preacher, you preach to the Wednesday night crowd." Mm-hmm. You got to start with the Wednesday night crowd and then work with the Sunday morning crowd. Because, see, the Wednesday, you say, "Well, the Wednesday night crowd is the faithful crowd." You're faithful tonight, but what might, well, so next week, if I don't preach on this, you might not be faithful. Oh, that was free. I ain't even gotten to my points yet. So if we really believe the day is approaching, then we literally will be faithful. And so we encourage people. We've broke them on the love and the good works. But also another reason why we should be faithful is that we might grow. See, we should want to grow in the Lord. And so we should show up to grow up. Because, see, we can show up but still not grow up. You say, "Can that happen?" It happens all the time around the country. Yea, around the world. You've got people who show up, but they don't grow up. And there are problems associated when we show up, but we don't grow up. You say, "Well, what are those problems?" We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through verse 14, and we're going to draw some points tonight to show us some of the problems that come about when we show up, but we don't grow up. We should show up to grow up. Number one, you have the problem of lost time. The problem of lost time. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12a. It says, "For when for the time." Now, that's an odd phrase. We normally don't speak like that. But for when for the time. It literally means considering the time that has elapsed, literally taken within context since you have been converted. In other words, this verse proves that these people were not young converts. These people had been saved for a period of time. A period of time had elapsed. And Paul said, "For when for the time. See, when we don't show up to grow up, we will allow our time of growth just to pass us by. There was a man at the gym when I used to work out over at the gym when my wife used to work out, you know, down off of Executive Park Boulevard, the Winston-Salem Athletic Club. And there was a man who would come down there, and I'm talking about he was faithful. He'd be down there on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, et cetera. He'd be faithful. But he didn't do much working out. He would show up, and when he showed up, he'd be sitting out in the lounge talking to people. I see him sitting there. They had a little bench area where some people can sit on the outside, kind of like going down the hallway. Sometimes I see him sitting out there. There are times when I'm in the upper work room working out, and he'll come in and maybe do a few bicep curls on the machine, and next thing you know, he's going to get him a cup of coffee or something. He was notorious for running his mouth, just talking, but not working out, and his physical appearance showed it. Well, one day, I guess he was just running his mouth. My wife and Cheryl were there. Cheryl was a personal trainer. And Cheryl, I guess she just kind of got fed up with him. And she just said, the only thing you work is your mouth. that's the only thing you work is your mouth. See, he showed up, but he didn't do anything that he needed to be doing with the equipment that was readily available to him. The same thing can happen to the child of God. A child of God can come in, sit down on a pew on Sundays and on Wednesdays doing revival meetings, etc., but yet do not grow. Why? Because they don't apply what they receive. And we should determine that we're going to come to the house of God. We're going to show up to grow up. If not, you have the problem of lost time. Secondly, there is the problem of lost opportunity. The problem of lost opportunity. Hebrews, or opportunities actually, plural. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12b. It says, ye ought to be teachers. He had mentioned this, and time has already passed. By now, you ought to be teachers. He's speaking to everybody there. Now, when he makes the or uses the phrase, you ought to be teachers, he literally means you ought to be able to instruct others. He's not saying that everybody in the church is supposed to be a public teacher. He's not saying that. Matter of fact, if he was saying that, then of course that would be against scripture, because we know everybody in the body is not going to be a teacher. Where would the pupils be? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I won't have you to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it literally deals with the function of believers within the body. And in the body, you have different gifts and different callings. And everybody can't be a foot. Everybody can't be an eye. Everybody can't be a hand. And everybody can't be a teacher. Matter of fact, Paul asked a question in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, are all teachers? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Everybody's not a teacher. And so here when he makes the statement, he said, by this time, I'm just going to go ahead and paraphrase it, bring it over into the 21st century. By all this time that has elapsed, every one of you, all of you, you ought to be able to instruct others within the Christian faith. We ought to be able to be communicators of that which we have already heard. He's not saying that they have to come up with something new, but they had already been taught some things, and you'll see that in just a little while. And so we're all supposed to be Christian apologists. When we show up to grow up, we're going to progress. And God expects now all of us in this building to be Christian apologists. What does that mean? He means that we are to be defenders of the faith. Let me give you some scripture. And by the way, God gave me this ever since back in December. I just didn't have the opportunity to preach it until now. So buckle up. Jude chapter 1, verse number 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." That's what we ought to be doing. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, watch this. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." The phrase "to give an answer" means to give a defense. See, when we don't show up to grow up, then we miss the opportunities to grow to where we can share, we can instruct others, we can help others, we can defend the faith. And when those opportunities come our way, if we have not showed up to grow up, then we won't know what to say to this person, to that person, to the other person, etc. And so as believers, we ought to be purposing in our hearts that when we come to the house of God, we're going to show up, but not just so that we can say, "Hey, I'm here," but so that we can grow in the Lord. And that's not an easy task, but it is a task that can happen if we do what we need to do. And I can't touch on that anymore because I'm going to hit on that a little later on. The problem, I said we had the problem of lost time. We had the problem of lost opportunities. Number three, there is the problem of covering old ground. The problem of covering old ground. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12c. It says, "Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." I hope you notice a word. If you didn't, I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to emphasize this word. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12c again. "Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." In other words, you should have noticed the word "again." Now, this shows that the writer had taught them some things in the past. They had been taught something in the past. And he said, which were the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, the first principles of the Christian faith. But they had not followed up on that teaching by assimilating it into their lives, their thought process, their walk, their ability to be able to communicate that which they have been taught. The first principles means the very elements, the rudiments, if you please, the first lessons that children would have learned as they advance to higher studies. See, when we don't show up to grow up, we'll always have to cover old ground. Old ground, always have to cover it. Sometimes there have been, and by the way, one of the problems with No Child Left Behind is that it's really not feasible. It wasn't funded properly, and it definitely is not feasible. You can't drag somebody along if they don't want to learn. You can try, but you can't. Now, if someone wants to learn, then you do all you can to try to help that person. And some people take a little bit more than others. It's kind of like myself. When I was in Bible college, one of my hardest courses were, some of my hardest courses were the math courses. You got me? Now, you know, when you do addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, I'm good. When you start throwing letters at me and putting lines in between them, that's a little different story. So I had to work harder at it. I had to meet with study groups and work hard at it. Why? Because you've got to pass. And I wanted to pass. And by the way, I did pass. And I ain't bragging, but I graduated with a 3.8 something GPA. Yeah, my son. I ain't bragging now. But no, seriously. But it took work. If a person wants to succeed, they can, but it takes some work. But there have been teachers, and you know, even our daughter's a teacher, you know that. But there have been teachers, and she's even communicated this, but there have been teachers that have, which have received students in their classes, and these students weren't up to par. Somehow, somebody pushed them along. And believe it or not, it starts even in kindergarten. They push them through the first grade sometimes, push them through the second grade sometimes. And they reach a certain level, and by the time they reach this level, they ought to be able to handle the material that's put before them, but they're not able to. And so now a teacher, for those who want, has to meet after school, try to help tutor, try to bring this child along, or either try to, you know, do what they can to at least try to keep the child at least to some level in the classroom, and they have to go over things that should have already been conquered in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. And the sad thing is, and especially if they know how to chunk a football or a basketball. I just use the word chunk just to kind of get to you. They will pass them through. And it's sad. Some have even gone off to college. They call them one and done. Some of them. And they're not even thinking about a book. Only thing they want to do is see if I can get to the NBA or someplace. And they got passed. Some of them, not all, but some of them got passed along. And not just the one and done. You have several people who can't even get into a good college because they goofed off through high school. Let's just go ahead and be real about it. And then some get upset because society hasn't reserved a block of jobs for folks who hadn't prepared themselves to do anything. And they get upset at that. Well, that's talking about that in the secular realm, but then what about in the spiritual realm? See, in the spiritual realm, it's even far more dangerous because, see, we're dealing with eternal things when it comes to the spiritual realm. What if you walked up on a car tonight, you walked up on a car, an accident, and somebody said, can you tell me how to be saved? Can you do it? I hope you can. But trust me on this one. You've got a lot of people who show up to church, but they can't do it. You say, why? I know what I'm talking about. I was preaching at a church in Greensboro, and I gave the invitation for people to get saved. And I'm talking about, man, people are coming down out the balcony and so forth, people to get saved, all around the altar. So, you know, here I asked the people, I said, okay, I want the deacons of the church, because I knew the church had a lot of deacons. I said, I want the deacons of the church to come around to lead these people to Christ. I saw the deacons out there. Like, I'm talking about people who came forward to get saved, give their life to Christ. I could call the name of the church right now. And I said, what are they doing? Let me boil it down to you. The sad commentary. Well, I'll just tell you what someone in that church told me. The person told me, and I have confidence in the person because we went to Bible college together. They said, the deacons in this church, they don't know how to lead people to Christ. They don't. A person, how can a person be a deacon? You know what's sad is a lot of times you've got ministers. Well, I'm putting a whole lot of stuff in here that wasn't even in the sermon. But you've got a lot of ministers who do not look at the qualifications for a deacon. If somebody has maybe a business skill or maybe, you know, they have the ability to command respect from people, et cetera, or maybe they drive a nice car or whatever and find home, good job, whatever. Oh, you can be a deacon. There are qualifications for a deacon, and a deacon needs to be able to handle this book. If a pastor is not there, a deacon ought to be able to get up and teach the word. He ought to be able to hold this mystery in a pure conscience. He ought to be able to handle the word. See, here is what I am saying to us tonight. We'll keep having to cover old ground if we don't grow in the things of the Lord. For example, why would God lead me to keep preaching on being faithful to the house of God if the house was packed out? So we have the problems of covering old ground. And when we get this old ground covered, then we can move on to new ground. And we've given us a lot of new ground, a lot of new territory, but we need to be able to grasp it. Some of you remember I did a whole entire series on cults and world religions. Okay, the question is now, can you handle it if a Jehovah's Witness come your way? Can you handle it if a Mormon comes your way? Can you handle it if you have to deal with somebody of a different, if you have to talk to a Catholic? Can you handle some things if you have to talk to a Catholic? See, this is what I'm saying. We have to keep covering old ground. But see, when we show up to grow up, listen, we can cover new ground. You say, preacher, I didn't come for that. I know. But I'm helping you, because if not, you'll be in the same predicament 10 years from now. Number four, there's the problem of regression. There is the problem of regression. If we don't show up to grow up, then we're going to have to deal with the problem of regression. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12d through 13. It says, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, when the writer of Hebrews wrote that, and they read that publicly, do you think that maybe a few people got a little upset? He said, you have regressed. He said, you need to get back on the bottle. He said, you're not able to handle strong meat. He said, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I don't care what position you hold. See, we cannot stay neutral in the Christian life. I've told you this a number of times. We can't tread water. We're either going to be progressing or we're going to be regressing. And when a person does not show up to grow up, then although that person is in church, they can still not grow. And when this happens, they will start acting like a baby. Let me tell you some of the characteristics of a baby. A baby cannot handle strong meat. They can. I've never seen anybody who had any sense have a newborn baby. And when I say newborn, I'm talking about it be 1 month, 2 months, who plopped down and put a knife and fork and a steak in front of them. I don't know of anyone who's taken a knife and a fork and cut off a piece of steak and handed it to a baby. Matter of fact, after the child get a little size on them, I have seen this. I've seen them cut a piece of meat. This is nasty, but it happens. Put it in their mouth and chew it up and get all the vitamins and minerals and nutrients out of it and then hand it to the baby. And they eat all, suck all the flavor out of it. It was dark when it went in their mouth, came out light. Amen. And they go hand it to the baby and say, "Nah, the baby doesn't know any better." So he or she gonna try to get as much out of it as they can. A baby can't handle strong meat. Some people say, "You know something? That sermon was a little bit too strong. I need to go someplace where I can get me a milk sermon. I don't have to do a whole lot of work to get that one down. And it's good for my spiritual digestion. I can feel okay when I walk out." But see, you give me stuff that I got to work on for a while. I got to be working on that thing on Monday and on Tuesday. You know, I got to chew on that for a while. I want something that when I leave church, I don't have to worry about it. I like what one preacher used to say. He said, in fact, Brother Steele, you say, "This ain't a Burger King church. Have it your way. This is more like Wendy's, old-fashioned hot and juicy." Amen. Amen. We've got too many. See, a baby can't handle, you know, strong meat. Baby got to have milk. Also, a baby will start to pout and cry when they can't get their way. I'm talking about a baby will start pouting, crying, and carrying on. You ever just took a toy away from a baby? And they start crying and that's my toy. They may not be able to phrase it like that, but that's just the way they go. Mine. That's one word they're going to learn early. Mine. Take it away. See what happens. Can't get their way. Pouting. Pouting. A baby has a short attention span. They do. Baby has a short attention span. I'm talking about baby can be doing this right now and something else and then something. I mean, very short attention span. That's why even for kids, that's why most of the cartoons, they used to have last about 10 minutes. They got to have a little bit in a commercial, a little bit in a commercial, a little bit in a commercial. You know, babies have short attention spans. They do. By the way, baby adults have a short attention span. They can't hang in there too long. By 20 minutes in, they sleep. If anybody was asleep just now, they got a blood rush straight to the head. A baby is very needy. Very needy. They've got to have a lot of attention. They do. If you don't give them attention, then they start to whine and carry on. Also, a baby will go to whomever's going to give them the attention that they want. Yeah, yeah. A baby will go to those who will give them attention. So when we don't show up to grow up, you know what we'll do? We'll regress. We'll regress. You ever heard or maybe seen a Christian and you looked at the way they were carrying on, you say, you know something? That person is acting like a little baby. It's okay to shake your head. Amen. It's all right. You've seen it before. You ever said, "Boy, that's just childish." And anybody ever said it? Anybody ever said that before or thought it? Go slip your hand up there. Have you ever thought that? Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. You've heard me tell the story about the church. Yeah. This will fit. Church. They had to vote on the color of the shingles on the roof. When it came time for us to put the roof on this church, Brother Bobby of the Gospel, he said, "Whatever you do, don't vote." That's what he told me. I said, "No," he said, I was passing. He said, "Don't vote on the color of the roof." He said, "Don't vote on it." He said, "You just put the roof on and they'll come in and praise God." He said, don't vote on it. He said, no need to. Do you need a roof? Yeah. Then get the roof put on. Don't vote on it. And then he told me this story that I've shared with you. Because he was at the church preaching. And what happened was this church voted. I won't tell you the state, but this church voted on the roof. The color of the roof. They had two colors. And the church split over that. One wanted this color. The one wanted that color. And here's what I mean by a split. So they couldn't determine. So what they did was they put one half one color and one half the other color on the roof. Now watch what the babies did. It got so bad until the ones who voted, we'll just say black and green. The ones who voted for the black color sat on that side when they came into church. The ones who voted for the green color sat on that side when they came into church. You know what? That was a church of babies. Babies. They may have had a house full, but they were babies. They were children. They hadn't heard what they needed to hear. Do you know in life, let me help all of us out. Nobody in here possesses anything. You know, folk have gotten mad because somebody sat in their seat. Now, they know I sit there every Sunday and every Wednesday. They know that. Sitting in my seat. That's childish. That's childish. I'll use my wife. She normally would sit right here. When Brother Irvin was attending, he came and he sat right there. He didn't know, but even if he did, it didn't matter. What did she do? Exactly, Sister Joy. You noticed it, didn't you? She didn't blow up. Can you believe he sat in my seat? Doesn't he know I sit there? No. You want to know why? She ain't a baby. Never heard. But I'm telling you, what folk have gotten mad, childish, and see a person can show up to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, but if they do not assimilate, put into their lives what they get, they'll start their regress and start acting like a baby. You say, preacher, you keep talking like that, we'll vote you out. No, you won't. You won't. And if you did, I'd be at another church someplace else next week saying the exact same thing I'm saying right now. Truth is truth no matter where it's preached. I could take this sermon preaching in any church and it would apply. Number five. Here it is. The problem of a lack of discernment. See, not only do you have a problem of regression, the other ones, also you have the problem of a lack of discernment. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, when a person shows up to grow up, they'll be able to handle the doctrines of the faith and apply that word to their lives so they can understand or have the ability to discern what is good and what is evil. In other words, that which is bad, worthless, injurious, or harmful, or that which is good. And this has to do with our personal doctrine and our walk. See, one thing about a baby lacks discernment. They do. They will pick up anything and put it in their mouths. They will. A baby will pick up anything and put it in their mouth. Why? Because they lack discernment. They'll drink things that are harmful. Why? Because they lack discernment. That's why you have to childproof your home when you have a little baby. We've got a grandbaby now, and we have to child-proof our home, put things on it. We got more than one now, of course, but the one that's walking around now, we child-proof our home. We've got locks on things in the kitchen. Why? So that she doesn't open up the thing and try to drink Dawn dishwashing liquid. We try to make sure that things are right. Why? But see, a person can come and sit on a pew Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and yet not be a full-grown Christian. And they'll eat things, drink things that they ought not to be consuming. And they think it's good, but it's not. And a person who is full-grown, who is growing in the Lord, and we never get there, but a person who is full-grown, growing. And even after that person gets fully grown, they still grow. We get older, but we get wiser. But a full-grown Christian won't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. A child, spiritually, can follow this, can go over here, can do this, can gravitate towards that. A full-grown person will say, nope, I'm not going to do anything. I don't have anything to do with that. See, a baby will think about themselves. A full-grown spiritual person will think about other people. How does this affect others? In conclusion, we can do what we need to do, and we should do what we need to do to ensure that we show up to grow up. And if we do what we need to do to show up to grow up, then we can mature. And that means that we must purpose in our hearts, first of all, to be faithful. You say, preacher, you've been preaching this for years. I'm going to keep right on preaching it. One man, when he took over church, he kept preaching, you must be born again. In his first sermon, his second sermon, his third sermon, his fourth sermon, after a while, somebody came and said, why in every message you preach, you must be born again? He said, here's the reason why. He said, because ye must be born again. So grasp what I'm saying. We have to literally purpose that we're going to grow. Hebrews chapter 2 verse number 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. See, we must purpose in our hearts, first of all, to be here, to be faithful. And then we need to purpose in our hearts to apply what we hear. We have to give the more earnest heed. He said, if not, then we'll let those things slip. To give the more earnest heed literally means to hold the mind towards, to pay strict attention to. It means to be conscious about. It means to apply oneself to. It means to adhere to. It means to give attendance to. The word, or literally the words that's used for that particular phrase, carries with the idea of we must be diligent. And when we apply all of the words within that context, and you can do this study on your own, you literally come up with this when it talks about to give the more earnest heed. It literally means, and I will quote, it literally means to more abundantly hold the mind towards, pay strict attention to super abundantly be conscious about, apply oneself to, adhere to, and to give attendance to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. And the word slip literally means to flow by, to carelessly pass by, to run out as leaking vessels. Listen, we're not to allow the word of God just to move and to go away. That's why I told you, one of the reasons why I changed the services, so that what we get on Sunday morning, we can muse over that thing, running through our minds and so forth, and apply that scripture. And the same thing, and instead of coming back in again on Sunday night, that's not the only reason, but it is a reason that I gave. And trying to grab another one before you process the one that you got on Sunday morning. And then we've got time throughout the week, and then we have Wednesday. Once we, what we get on Wednesday, we ought to be processing in our lives. And if we are doing it, then we will be faithful. If we're doing it, then we will be growing. If we're doing it, then we won't be babyish in our attitude and in our actions. And when we don't get our way, we pout and scream and do things that a baby would do. When we are growing, we will literally be able to teach, help, instruct other people. When we are growing, we will be able to see someone going in a certain direction and say, no, this is not the direction you need to be going. This is the direction you need to be going, and show them from the word of God why that is so. And as we grow, year by year, month by month, we'll find ourselves having more of an influence, and we'll find ourselves being more stable. And when it's all said and done and God calls us home by way of the rapture or by way of the grave, we're going to go one of two ways. He ain't sending a fiery chariot down to get us and take us one by one. Not saying that he couldn't. He can do whatever he wants to do. But just looking at scripture, believers, we're going up in the rapture, and the Lord is soon to come back. But if we don't go by way of the rapture, we're going by way of the grave. And if we don't apply what we have right now, if we don't apply it, then I can tell you what will happen. We won't finish well. I'm talking about the best Christians. I'm talking about good Christians just looking at their lives. I'm talking about preachers that I could give you examples of. I'm talking about Christians that I could give you examples of in these almost 38 years that I've been saved. And the one thing that I see coming up over and over again in their lives that takes them out is this one thing, so simple but yet so profound, their faithfulness to God's house. I've seen that wane time and time again. I've seen it where they haven't been being faithful. And I've seen the same thing with believers. I've seen believers miss, hit, miss, hit, miss, hit. And before long, they don't realize just how far away they've gotten. And it doesn't take very long. And after a while, we can justify it. I can call somebody and say, where have you been? Well, you know, I wasn't feeling all that good, you know, so I hadn't been. Oh, okay. What you doing? Well, I'll be back home in a little while. I had someone call me and say, I can't come to church tonight. I said, what you doing? He told me. I said, if you can do that, you can be in church. Person showed up and was fine. You know what the person did? Well, Terry, just stop calling. They don't need to call it him, amen. Because he's going to tell me to show up. So don't need to call it him. And you know what? I've watched that person's life over the years. And you know what I've noticed? Here sometime, not. Here sometime, not. Here sometime, not. Here sometime, not. Tonight, not. You know, you see what I'm saying? The shepherd knows the flock. Some pastors wouldn't preach like the way I'm preaching. You want to know why? Because they're more concerned about the pocketbook than they are about preparing people for heaven. I want to see people prepared for heaven, because I've seen people I've rubbed shoulders with, and I've said, listen, you know, you need to be in church. No, I'm sick. I said, well, okay, well, you've been sick for a long time. I can't drive. I said, okay, I'll come and pick you up. Well, no. And I'm not making this up. I'm telling you. No, I just, I said, I can come by and get you. And bring, no, I just can't. I can't come. I told you one person. Reach, I'm sick. I can't come. Okay. I had him out of the house. Okay, all right. By the way, same person. And I made a turn. I was out on Martin Luther King, like the next day. Made a turn. Some of you heard me tell the story. Made a turn. And I got off wrong. I wasn't supposed to be over there, but I got off wrong. But the Lord was just showing me. And while I was driving, I looked in the rear view mirror. I said, that looked like so-and-so car. And so the person came right by. And I looked at him. I said, I can't believe it. And I was getting ready to get off. I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to follow that person. I said, I'm going to follow them. They just told me they couldn't. But anyway, they lost me. I mean, literally, they did. I don't know if they saw me and pulled off or whatever, but I know they were gone. That person did not finish well. Didn't finish well. Didn't finish well. Not on this earth anymore. Didn't finish well. I could tell that story time and time again. I've said this before. Don't get mad at me. Because, and here's why I'm saying this, because in 2018, I'm not saying anything I haven't said before. In 2018, you're not going to feel well. You're not. But if you can, you make your way to God's house. Don't come in here all feverish. I'm telling you, don't come in here feverish. I'm going to be upset at you if you do. I will. Amen? Because I don't, because like I said, I don't need to get sick. Nobody else does either. But if we can get out, we can get here. Am I correct? I'm speaking to all of us because the devil wants to take you out. He does. He wants to take you out. He will. And so I mentioned this Sunday. I'm not saying anything I hadn't said before. But I tell you one thing, and don't get mad at me for saying this, but if we use sickness as an excuse, I've seen this before. The Lord, he can make sure that you're sick so that you legitimately have a reason to stay at home. If you're sick, because I've been sick before, but if I'm sick at home, I'm in bed sick, and I'm hurting, and I'm going through some things, and I'm trying everything I can, I'm taking everything I can to try to get to the house of God. I could have spent many, 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 and I'm going over time. I spent many, many a Sunday in 2009 and the early part of 2010, a good part of 2010, preaching when I wasn't right, when I should have been home, when my heart rate was up over 200. We were looking at a picture of myself in the house today. My face was skinny. I'd gotten down to 140 pounds, but yet I kept on coming. The day I got out the hospital, I made my way into God's house, and I stood right behind this pulpit and preached. We all gonna have problems. I got problems right now. My arm hurt, Brother Terry. It does. It does. My arm hurts. It does. I've got a pinched nerve. You everybody ever have a pinched nerve? Yeah, I've got a pinched nerve in this arm. That thing went all the way down to my finger. But guess what? That finger's here, and I'm here. Amen. Why? If I can hurt at home, I might as well just come here and hurt. And I'm not lying to you. I'm hurting right now. But I'm here. Do you understand? I'm not telling you to do anything that I wouldn't do. I've come to this pulpit. I've come in this church with a crutch. Not a crutch, what do you call them thing? A cane. And when it was time for me to preach, you know what I did? Put the cane over and preach. God helped me. And when I got through, I got the cane. And I told you, one time I was in my office preparing a message. And with my cane, I came in that office with my cane preparing a message. Preparing a message. And I started preparing. the message, and all of a sudden I got him, I felt something go. It was gone. That pain was gone. I walked in without a crutch. With a crutch. I walked out without a crutch and came here and gave testimony about it. I was preaching a revival meeting down in Jackson, Mississippi. I'll be there this year. I was preaching a revival meeting. And the third night of the revival meeting, my nerve thing went out. It was so bad, I was in the floor. I literally had to crawl. I got in the car, told my wife, I told her what I was going to do. I said, I'm going to the hospital. And the Lord had a VA hospital there in Jacksonville. I said, I'm going to the hospital. I said, I've got to finish this revival out. But I told her, I said, don't come. I said, I'll be okay. I got in that car, and I'm talking about pain. And literally, this is how I had to move around in the hospital. It was so bad. Just like that. And they took me. They didn't even want to give me a shot. Because they said, you just had one not too long ago. And they thought I was some kind of addict, or something like that. But I need to get that shot. I got the shot. When I got that shot, it began to feel a little bit better. It wasn't 100%. But you know how it is. Them kind of shots that you don't want to get, but you have to get them. And when I got it, and I got back in the pulpit that night, and I preached. And I gave it all I had. And I let her go. And I even shared with the people what had happened. And I'm talking about, man, people praising God and saying amen. Praise Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm just trying to warn us. We all, I know I can see us getting a little fidgety, but that's okay. We all, and maybe God used the bathroom or something, I don't know. So I'm going to close it out here in a second. But don't use your strength to do stuff and then shortchange God. Don't do that, okay? I've laid it out for all of us for 2018. Because I know you're going to get upset at me, but I've seen people who constantly tell me, I'm this, and after a while, it happens. It happens. If you're sick, stay at home. If you're hurting and you can't move, stay at home. I'm not talking about that. But if you know you can be here, give it your all, and God will see that. She's not asking me to tell this, and I didn't even plan on telling this, but I'm going to tell it, and then I'm going to close. This is as long as I preach in a while, but you hang in there. My wife was having a problem with her knee. I'm talking about real problem today. She said, my knee is just really giving me all kind of pain. She said, it's like about an 8 or 9. And she said, I just can't, hardly move around. And we prayed and asked God to work and asked God to help and asked God to heal. And after a while, I saw she was still limping around. She said, but here's what she said. She said, you know something? She said, I'm going to be in church tonight. She said, I'm hurting. She said, but I'm going to be in church tonight. And I came over to the church and was doing a few things. She gave me a call. And she said, I got on the internet. And she said, I looked and found a doctor on the internet. And this doctor on the internet told me what to do, had some information on what to do for my knee. And she said she did some stuff, and she said the pain went away. Amen. I said 100% pain. You know what I told her? I said, you had purpose. Amen. Let's go ahead and give God some glory. Amen. You know what she purposed? She purposed in her heart. She said that she was going to be in the house of God. She purposed in her heart. God saw that. God gave her just what she wanted. Had she decided to stay at home, she might have been still hurting at home. But she determined, I'm going to come even though I am hurting. I'm going to come. Okay, I've been preaching this for years. I'm preaching it now. In 2018, if you can, you make it to God's house. Don't use any excuse for not being here. If you can't, then God knows that. But if you can and you don't, then God knows that also. And I could tell you more things because I know stuff that you don't know, but then you would think me cruel. But there have been times in the same area that someone has told me, I've seen things happen. And I'm so afraid not to say it because then I have to give an account for what God has shared with me. You hung in there for nearly an hour. Maybe you're not a baby. Maybe you have grown. You hung in there for an hour. And if you feel guilty about anything I've said, if you feel guilty, then you have to question, what do I need to do? I don't want anybody to feel guilty. What I want us to do is to feel convicted and then make sure that we purpose in our hearts to do right. I won't ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. Let's bow for prayer.